This morning, we're talking about time. We want to be on time. There's a lot of different statements about time. And so in our sermon series, I hope you're enjoying it this summer, is Search For. And today, we're searching for time. You know what? There's never enough time, is there? Have you ever noticed that? No matter what you're doing, there's just not enough time. Yesterday, I was enjoying a cookout. It was a beautiful day. I hope you enjoyed yesterday, if you didn't have to work. I know I sure did. Got out, sat in the swimming pool. It was about 80 degrees outside. Had something on the grill earlier. And I thought, boy, this day could go on forever, and I would not complain. But there's just never enough time because, you know, you just sit there and watch the clock, and there's never enough time. Have you ever said that? There's just... If they could just invent an eighth day of the week, I could get more done. But you know what would happen if you had an eighth day? There would never be enough time. It would just get swallowed up. Or how about this? Where did all the time go? How many of you have said that in the last couple months or weeks or days or years? Where did the time go? I can hardly believe it. And you can really relate to this if you have kids. And you know, you remember that first child that was being born, and you just couldn't wait for that child to be born. And it seemed like those 9 months, and for those of you that are pregnant right now, and you're just getting ready, we have a couple moms to be, and how exciting those days are. But just like that, they were getting on the bus for their first day of school. And mom cried, and dad said, "Oh, come on." Then they came home from school, and it was graduation day. Where did the time go? Then before you knew it, you were retiring from your job. Where did the time go? Have you ever just sat there and watched the clock and think, if it would just stop, we can't control the time. Where did all the time go? Or how about this? I'd like to call a big time out. I just want the world just to stop for a minute and take a time out. You might send your kids into a time out. Maybe you want your kids to send you into a time out. I'll take a nap. That'd be great. Where did the time go? Or how about this? You need to just make time. You ever have that said? You just need to... How do you make time? It's already there. How do you... You don't make any more time. In fact, Jesus said, which of you by worrying can add a single minute to his life? You can't make any time. I wish I could make time. I'd get a lot more done. Or I'd get a lot less done and enjoy it even more. How do you make time? Or this, here we go, how time flies when you're having fun, right? I remember when I was 10 years old, July was at least 3 months long. You remember that when you were a kid? It seemed like baseball games lasted for a week. It was like summers were forever. Now, kids, you're going to be back to school in about 6.5 weeks. But... I'm not here to be popular. I'm just here to tell you the way it is. It just goes so fast. It's just quick. I can't hardly believe it's the middle of July. Where did the time go? How time flies when you're having fun. And how time doesn't fly when you begrudge in it. Time. When I was a kid, it seemed like I had all the time in the world. And now, I'm almost 50. Easy. I told someone the other day, they said, how old are you? I said, 63. And they went, 63. I said, that's right. I know lying's a sin, but it's worth it to see the reaction from these people, all right? I'll deal with the Lord when I get there, okay? You deal with your own sins, that's mine. They go, 63? You look great, Pastor. 63? I said, yes. If I told you I was 47, a couple years, going to hit that 50 mark, you'd say, oh, you're old. Because I remember when my dad was in his 40s, and I was a kid, I looked at him and said, 40? You're really old. You want to race? And he'd say, you want to get beat up? 40? I thought 40 was ancient. 40's just a kid. I'm hearing a lot of amens. So you're going, 60 is just being a kid. Come on. Oh, yeah, I know who I'm preaching to here. Where did the time go? It just It seems like the other day we were just taking a vacation and we were just so excited, our family, to go on the first cruise of our life, and we were so excited. And then it was like, okay, we got 5 days left on the cruise. And it was like, okay, we got 2 days left on the cruise. And it's like, oh, that was 2 years ago. Where did it go? I want to go again. Take the whole church. We're doing a church cruise. How's that? But you got to be a member. No, I'm just kidding. On the Huron Lady Tuesday. There you go. Where did the time go? What happened all that time? We're getting ready for Wyoming. I'm so excited. I've been out there. I know it's one of the best trips I've ever taken in my life. And I've been there 9 times. And every time I say it again, it's the best trip I've ever taken. Kids, you've been packing, getting ready. Some of you families, we've got about 12 families going. You're packing, you're getting ready. And you know what's going to happen? We're going to get on the road and we're going to go and we're going to do that 2-day journey in vans. 107 degrees, screaming teens, singing songs. John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, or row, row, row your boat in 4-part harmony for 150 miles until we say, you're going in the other van. And we'll have a great time. We'll have some great chapels. We'll worship God. We'll have some great experiences. And then it'll be over. And we'll sit around at the last night on the mountainside, listening to the coyotes, looking at a billion stars with a guitar and the fire, and hearing testimonies of how great God is. Thinking, oh, we're going home tomorrow. And a year will be gone, and 5 years will be gone, and our young people get married. They'll think, where did the time go? Time. We can't control it. It controls us. It's time. Today we're searching for time. And I love what the Scripture says. James tells us that our life is a mist that is here for a short moment and gone. Job says, my life is swifter than a weaver's shuttle. King David said, my days are a mere hand breath. Solomon, his son, writes and teaches that the dust returns to the ground it came from. And Kansas said, all's we are is dust in the wind. And a great TV show said, like sands through the hourglass, so are the... Shame on you people. And we all know at 12 o'clock... Anyway, here we go. Time. The Scripture says, of all the people in the world, the wisest man who ever lived sat down and he wrote these with a pen and he said, time. No, and it's not the birds for every season turn. It was Solomon who wrote it first. And he said, there is a time for everything. And this morning, there is a time for everything. When I think about that, we need to redeem our time. Can I tell you, just redeem the time. Would you turn to someone and said, redeem the time? Let them know that. Tell someone next to you to redeem the time. What does that mean to redeem the time? Well, the Bible says there's a time for everything. And we need to be doing what we need to be doing. Now, I know that's pretty deep. And you're probably writing that down. That's good, Pastor. We need to be doing what we need to be doing. Well, what does that mean to redeem the time? This morning, I want to let you know that God has given you a gift. I heard a guy say it this way. If someone came up to you and said, you've just won the lottery, I'm going to give you $86,400 today, and you get that every day for the rest of your life, how many of you would be happy about that? $86,400 today. And now here's the only stipulation with the lottery. You have to spend it all by midnight or it's gone. And you can't carry it over for tomorrow. And then tomorrow you get $86,400 to spend any way you want. It's yours. But spend it any way you want. You're already thinking, what am I going to do every day from this day forward with that lottery money? Well, let me let you know something. God has given you the greatest gift. It's called life. And every day He's giving you that 86,400 seconds. And you can spend it any way you want. But at the stroke of midnight, folks, it's a pumpkin. It's gone. All right? Your Cinderella story. You can't go back and bank it. You can't say, I want to go back to last year. You know what? I remember one day I just sat around and did nothing. I'd like to cash that in, God. I'd like that nothing day back. It's gone. It's a day that you spent. Life is like a coin. You can spend it any way you want, but you only get to spend it once. Redeem your time. Solomon said, there is a time for everything. There's a time to sow and there's a time to reap. I've learned this as a person, and it is so hard to grab a hold of. And I say, God, I'll watch the clock thinking, I know this moment's going to pass. This day today, you worshiping the Lord together. Are you ready for this? None of us are going to have this day ever again. This moment you share with everyone in this room. God has given you this gift, and you've come together to share this time, your most precious gift. You are sharing with one another. But more than that, you're giving this time to God. And I believe He will bless you because that you're redeeming your time. I'm going to redeem some time. Redeeming your time means to redeem something, means to get the value out of it. There you go. Now that's something you can write down in your notes. Redeem it means to get the value out of it. Now I don't know if there's too much value in sitting around playing a video game. Ouch. Ouch. I don't know if there's too much time redeemable sitting around reading a newspaper every day for 2 hours. There you go, kids. See, I wasn't just picking on you. Now I'm going to pick on myself. I'm not sure how much time there is that's being redeemed sitting around watching television of people you will never meet in your life who are getting much of your life. Now I'm preaching. I should probably turn around because I'm preaching to the choir. Okay? Redeem your time. I've learned that God wants to do everything in its time. Now, is TV okay? Sure. Is reading the newspaper okay? Sure. Is playing a video game okay? Well, sure. Is golfing okay? Sure. Is shopping okay? Not in my house, it's not. Yes, it is. Here it is. If you're going to redeem your time, Solomon said this, there is a time for everything. You just need to know when it is. And you need to do what you need to do. Now we're back to that statement. When I was graduated from college, I went to my first church, and I went to a camp, and I met a kid by the name of Robert in Mississippi at a youth camp. Now, down south, it's a little hotter in July than it is up north. And we were in these cabins, and Robert got put in my cabin next to my bunk, and they said, he's yours. You get him this week. He wasn't from my youth group. He was a troubled, troubled kid, heavily involved in drugs, into goth, kind of the long, just that whole countenance about his life. Very down, very dark, very miserable, very depressed. And Robert was in my cabin. And they said, you got him for the week. I said, okay. And I was just naive enough to believe that God could do something in Robert's life. And so I started witnessing to Robert. I found out something about him. He's a cop's kid. His dad was a police officer in Jackson, Mississippi. And I said, all right. I started sharing and witnessing to him. I shared the Lord with him. I'd open scriptures every night. And I talked to him about Jesus. I said, Robert, my dad was a police officer too. And I didn't grow up as a Christian. And I used to do drugs. And I became a Christian at 19. He was 18 years old, a senior in high school. And Robert just kind of looked at me. I could tell he was listening, but he really wasn't interested in anything I had to say. And I said, Robert, I want you to know God changed my life at 19. And I remember sharing my testimony and what God can do in your life, Robert, can change you too. I remember when I got up after I became a Christian, I got up in a church and I shared what God had done in my life and my dad being a cop. And many of you know that story, and I shared it with Robert. And I said, I remember getting up and saying something, and then boom, the Holy Spirit began speaking and just started talking about how God loves us. And I began crying, and I went to sit down. I was so embarrassed, I cried in a church. I'd hardly ever been in church in my life for the right reason. And I went and I sat down in the pew, and my father was sitting with my mom to come that Sunday night to hear that testimony. I'm sharing this with this young man, and I could tell he was listening. And I said, this tough cop who I'd never seen cry, I heard when his sister died when she was 18, I heard that he cried. I looked over, and he was crying. And he came up, and he gave me a big hug after service, and he said, you done good, boy. You done good. And I said, my God gave me my dad back. And my dad, for the first time in my life, was proud of me that I knew. And my dad hugged me. And I'd never felt the arms of my dad around me hugging me in my life. I said, my God can do that for you, Robert. And he just wouldn't listen. But I wanted to redeem the time. See, I could have said, you know what? I'm going to hang out with all the other youth pastors. I'm going to hang out with the kids who are good. I'm going to do what's going to be fun. Hanging around with Robert was not fun. He was miserable, and he made everyone miserable. And I was his counselor, and I was miserable. And he wouldn't listen to me. And one night I said in our bunk, I said, look, I said, Robert, I'm not going to talk to you about Jesus anymore. I said, I've said it all. I said, if you want Jesus, I'm not going to press you. I tell you what, you just give me one of these, and that way I'll know you want Jesus. Just do that. And I was just done with Robert. The end of the week, we had this chapel service that went 3.5 hours. It just kept going and going. And this is teens at camp. And I was sitting there and I'm listening to these things. And as I was sitting in my seat watching what was happening on the platform and kids going up and getting saved and singing more songs, I looked out of the corner of my eye and the whole camp hushed. The whole building got quiet as one boy got up from the back of the room and began walking forward. And as he took every step, you could just hear every breath being held in that moment. And I looked out of the corner of my eye and I saw a little boy, a young man with his thumb up as he walked by me. And he looked at me and I looked at him and tears started coming down my face. And I got up and I walked that aisle with him and he went down and he took Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Robert accepted Jesus that day and he went back home into a life that I don't know what happened. I wasn't his youth pastor. I lived in Alabama. We had 3 states that went to that camp. Never heard anything. 10 years later, I'm in a convention with 10,000 students from all over the country. And a young man finds me. I'm speaking in a seminar. And this young man, this lady finds me. And she comes up and she says, are you Pastor Mitch? I said, yes, I am. She goes, I'm Robert's mother. I want you to know that you've made a difference in my son's life 10 years ago. I said, really? She goes, at that camp, he accepted the Lord. He stayed with the Lord. He got involved in church. His life completely turned around. Robert's a youth pastor today. I said, you've got to be kidding me. I said, Robert's a youth pastor. Are you kidding me? Robert's a youth pastor. Well, I pray that God sends him a few Roberts his way. She said, thank you for your time. We redeem the time because time is important. We do what we do. There was a time to sow and there was a time to reap. The Bible says, Solomon writes these words. He says, there's a time to plant and there's a time to uproot. There's a time to kill and there's a time to heal. Listen, we're doing one of those two things is what he's saying. You're either killing or you're healing. You're either planting something good or you're uprooting something and destroying. In your life, he says, there's a time to tear down and a time to build up. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and there's a time to dance. Redeem your time. Know what to do with your time. And be good at what you do with your time. Redeem it. And after you redeem it, then realize, we need to realize the time. You ever see? Did you go see that Alice in Wonderland? Or at least you know the story. You know the little rabbit that runs around with one of these things. He goes, oh, I'm late. I'm terribly late. The rabbit is always late. There are people who need to realize what time it is. Church starts at 10:30 at Grace, not at 10:40. This is the first church where our call to worship is honestly a call to worship. I think we should blow the shofars. I don't know if people are driving by and they see people come and go, hey, I think I'll pull in. Or you're all eating at Billy Boys and you're waiting for your check. I don't mind it because I love it. When you come in, I think that's a call to worship. I think that's Old Testament when they had the tabernacle and they blew the shofar. And from 12 tribes, they came in worshiping and singing and blowing the trumpets. I'm okay with that. But don't be late when you need to be on time for the important things of life. Realize the time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Do you know what time it is today? Today, right now, today, July 11th, right now, is the day for your salvation. If you don't know your salvation today, right now is the time. Not tomorrow, not the next day. Right now is the time. My clock's about to run out. Don't be late. Don't be late. Life is happening. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Verse 11, the smartest man in the world wrote these words. God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. You and I have eternity within our hearts. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to be late for eternity? I was late for a funeral once. My first funeral I ever did, I was late by a half an hour. I wasn't the only one. The senior pastor, and I didn't know there were three or four of these funeral homes in this large city. And I went to the wrong one. I got there, I said, all right. I was supposed to participate, and I was late. I came walking in, had to go up on the platform and get to this funeral home. I thought, oh boy, I am late for a funeral. How do you do that? Don't be late for your funeral. Redeem your time. How can you be late for your funeral? Here it is. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. I guarantee that students are packing suntan lotion, hiking boots. They're packing swimwear, flashlights, bug insect repellent. When you go on a trip, you plan and you prepare because you need to make sure you have everything. You realize the time. Now, some of you men, you would like to wait till the night before. Some of you people, how's that? Maybe there's some women who like to do that. Me, I can pack in 5 minutes, which drives my wife crazy. She's got to know every rest stop. She's got to know every food stop. She's knowing where the gas prices are. Me, I like to just, and you know if you've been on a road trip with me, I just like to get in the car and go. In fact, 1 year going to Wyoming, students, I remember we were pulling out of our church and one of the moms handed me maps to Wyoming. And as we pulled out with about 8 vans, we're going out and all the parents are there. We just got done praying and they're all standing there waving goodbye. And I said to the guy riding shoddy with me, I said, roll down the window. What? Roll down the window. And he said, you're not. I said, yeah, we threw the maps out. And every parent just kind of shook their head like, here they go again. I knew the way. I mean, I know the way. How much are you prepared and planned for the way? Do you realize what time it is? We just had two of our brothers in this church go to be with the Lord. One doctor proclaimed, one guy said, oh, you're in great shape. You're in perfect health. Well, apparently that doctor didn't know something. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. We need to be ready. Today is the day of salvation. God has placed eternity within our hearts. Do you know, if you turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 2, why don't you flip over there to your first book? There's an interesting thing about time. And here it is. It's real easy to find. It's on page 2 of your Bible. Unless you have your table of contents, then go to page 14. Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says this very clear. It says, and this is the account of Adam and Eve. Right? Isn't that what your Bible says? Verse 4? Thank you. It says, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord made the earth and the heavens and the shrubs of the field, they had yet not appeared on, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface. Listen, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Say, breath of life. Breath of life into man's nostrils, and he became a living being. I want you to realize what time it is. Here's the time. Your body, I don't care what you do. Here's our constant struggle every day. I want to live a little longer. I'm going to be 50. I used to think that was old. Now I'm thinking 90. If you're 90 in here, God bless you. When I get 90, I'll say, what was he talking about? Okay? My grandfather is 91 and just absolutely incredible. Still hunts, still drives, does all the stuff, farms with my dad. 91. I don't think I'm getting there, folks. I'm just happy to be 47. All right? But I also realize this, that my body is simply made of dust. I realize what time it is. That this is not forever, because when this happened, God breathed into man the ruach. That's the Hebrew word, ruach. It means he breathed into his nostril the breath, the Spirit of God. You all have the Spirit of God within you. No wonder why Solomon said, we have eternity within our hearts. Every nation, every culture, every people group know that life doesn't end at death. And they all worship some kind of being and all talk about this afterlife, whether it's reincarnation as a bug or whether it's 70 virgins or whether it's as a Christian. We believe in Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the dead and spending time with God in eternity, the true way, truth, and life. Now listen to this. I realize what time it is. You think life has gone fast? Just wait. The older you get, the faster it goes. As you stare at that clock, you realize, I have an appointment. This isn't to be morbid, but can I tell you something? You have an appointment. Every human being has an appointment. We try to avoid it. We don't talk about it. And then when we get to the point, we don't know what to say when it happens. I sat down with a young lady yesterday, and some doctor had the nerve to say, I can't cure this. Well, no, you can't. It's called death. Nobody can cure it except Jesus Christ. He says, though you are dead, yet shall you live. I am the resurrection and the life. Can I tell you that's the greatest news of all? He conquered the grave. We sang that this morning. Do you realize what time it is? We need to realize the time. And we need to realize the time is short. And because God made us, watch this, and He breathed life into us. Are you ready for this? You and I didn't have time. It did not exist in the Garden of Eden. They were going to live forever. Trees did not die. Plants did not die. Adam and Eve didn't have to say, well, what are we going to do today? They didn't have to worry about today or tomorrow. They were going to live forever. And because of sin, we have death. That's where it all comes in. And now we sit here and we watch decay happen. I apologize if this is shining in your eyes. Do you realize what time it is? I love what Solomon finishes his story when he says, there's a time for everything. We need to redeem it. We need to realize what time it is. And here it is. I don't know what tomorrow has. You do not know tomorrow. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. I thank God I woke up. No wonder why the writer of the psalm said, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. Well, yeah, I woke up. I'm pretty happy. Of course I'm going to rejoice. You know what? I'm out of time. You're out of time. That's it. Sermon's over. I'm serious. Lisa, would you come up? I'm done. I have more stuff to say, but I'm out of time. We're not even going to get to the third point. See, I have to go by time. I don't have a choice. Because when the clock goes, I'm done. I'm going to heaven. There's no time in heaven. I get to go to timelessness. That was God's plan. I'd like to tell you about Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven. And I saw a new earth. And the old earth had passed away. And the old heaven had passed away. And I heard a voice say, behold, I make everything new. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm skipping parts. Thank you for putting that up. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more death. There will be no more time. And you say, I'd like to come over and visit you if I had the time. And you could say, we have all the time in the world. Oh, I wish I had more time. Where's the time gone? Can I tell you, in the new earth and the new heaven, you have all the time in the world. You can enjoy it. The book of Revelation says, and it's not for everyone, it's only for those who redeem the time, they realize their time, and they say, God, release me from this time. Though I am dead, yet shall I live. You see, the day that they put my body into the ground, the dust, is the day the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. In the twinkling of an eye, in the last moment, just like that, we shall all be raised up. You can try to avoid it all your life, or you can embrace it and and say, God, save me. Today I invite you to be saved. I invite you to redeem your time. Today is the day of salvation. I invite you to stand right now if you would, everyone. I ran out of time. I don't have any more time to preach. Because I live in this world, I am a slave to this. But because I'm not of the world, I am a slave to no man. I'm free in Christ, because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. The Bible says if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, you confess your sins, you bring your heart to Him and say, God, like Robert did, walk in that aisle with thumbs up. I invite you to come down, not with your thumbs up, just to come forward. If you'd like to be saved today and redeem your life, to say death no longer has, time no longer has. I'm going to invite you to step out, come up right now. I'm out of time. Maybe today's not your day, but somebody, maybe today's your day. Step out and come up this aisle and receive Christ as your Savior. I'll pray with you. Come now. I'll give you a few seconds.